Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Good morning, and welcome to South Britain Congregational Church. This morning's reading is from Acts 17, verses 22 to 31. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship, and this is what I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations, and that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising from the dead." This ends our scripture reading.
Welcome to South Britain Congregational Church on this Sunday morning. Let's join in the spirit of prayer. Dear God, we are grateful for this time. We're grateful for your words to us. Open our hearts and our minds, and may all that we do be pleasing to you. We ask in your Son's name, amen. In high school, one day I was heading with my friend to meet his grandfather for the first time. And as we walked up to the door, he grabbed my arm and said, really seriously, "Whatever you do, don't talk about the Boston Red Sox." So he didn't give any more further information about this and just to avoid the subject. So I didn't think much of it. We were in the heart of Maine, that's Red Sox Nation. We went in and had some iced tea. It was a hot summer day and we all chatted. It was really nice. And after a while of this pleasant conversation, my friend's grandfather looked at me and said, "What do you think about the Red Sox pitching this year?" And I thought, wow, nice. Maybe my friend was wrong. Maybe his grandfather wanted to talk about this. So I got into talking about the bullpen and the starting pitching and got very philosophical. And as I paused, the grandfather looked right at me and he said, "The Red Sox are a bunch of bums." It was in that moment that I saw the Yankees pennant on the middle of the mantle over to the left. And there was a reason why my friend didn't want me to talk about it. His grandfather let me know for about a half an hour why the Yankees were far better than the Red Sox would ever be. I had been warned, and how right now we long to be talking about Red Sox Yankees. But it brings up this idea of not talking about certain things. There are two things that we don't talk about, right, in polite conversation. We don't talk religion, we don't talk politics. And there's good reasons for those in a lot of ways. We can see how divided, how passionate people are about these things. Yet part of our life of faith is finding ways to talk about it, finding ways to talk about God, sharing about who God is. How do we talk God? So for us, how do we talk about it? How do we grow in talking about it to the people that we come, meet in our lives? Because no matter where we are in our lives, working, retired, not working, volunteering, wherever we find ourselves, we need to let people know about God. You can call this evangelism, but that's kind of become a loaded word. It has taken on this connotation, this idea that of converting people to your way of thinking no matter what. And that's not what I want to talk about this morning, but I want to talk about the heart of that word, evangelize, which is to share the good news of God's great love for all of us, the good news of who God is in our life. Part of our life of faith is talking to people about who God is to us. In the scripture from Acts, Paul gives us some insights into how we can go about talking to people, not in a divisive way, not in a judgmental way, but in a way that shows our love for God and our love for one another and for the other person. So what pointers and tips does Paul give us? First, the first tip is Paul goes to where they are. Paul is just kind of stopping over in this passage for this morning in Athens, waiting for his co-workers in the faith. But he feels called to proclaim God's love to the Gentiles, to the Greeks, to the Romans, to all the different peoples of the world, about who the God of Israel is, who Jesus is. And now Athens at this time was the philosophical center of Greece. People would go and just sit, debate, and discuss. Maybe you lived in a college town or colleges are nearby. I used to live in Cambridge, Mass., right near MIT, Harvard. So you'd go into restaurants, you'd go into bars, you'd go into places, coffee shops, and students would be sitting around discussing, arguing about all these different things. Athens was a lot like this. People sitting around debating, arguing, they all took it very seriously. But Paul teaches us to go to them. He sits with them. He engages with them. We can do the opposite of this sometimes. We expect people maybe to come to where we are. We expect people to come to the church. But as we learn from Paul, we got to go where they are. A great example of this is actually Martin Luther King Jr. As he was trying to get support for the bus boycott, he went to the pool halls to tell people about what was going on and try to get them on board and say, this is why we're doing it. In a book called Reflections on Our Pastor, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, one of King's former parishioners said King used pool to connect to residents ignored by other preachers. You can Google this right now, actually, because you can pause and go and Google it. But if you Google Martin Luther King Jr. pool, you will see this. If we were in church, you couldn't stop and Google right now. You'd have to do it afterwards. But because we can pause, we have the technology, you can do that. So Martin Luther King Jr. pool hall, and he's showing off. He actually does one shot where it's around his back. He was a really good pool player. Martin Luther King Jr. was showing us, and Paul is showing us, that you have to go to where the people are. Now, Paul would have loved the debate. Sitting with the Athenians was something that he loved to do. He was somebody who loved to engage in debating. So Paul, Martin Luther King Jr., that, you know, they blended the things that they were passionate about, but also to be able to go and reach people. So if you're a golfer, go to the golfers on the golf course. If you're a knitter, to the knitters in the knitting club. Gardeners, card players, and the list goes on and on. Whatever things you do in your life and you enjoy, bring the love of God into that group by your intentional presence. So Paul shows us that we need to go where the people are. But second, Paul finds out about them. Paul doesn't just start telling the Athenians about God. Paul had opened himself in studying not just his own tradition, but he read a lot. He knew Greek poetry, and he knew it well enough in this passage to quote it. He flashed his cultural chops. He quotes two Greek poets to the elite crowd. "In him we live and move and have our being" is from Epimedes from the 6th century. "And we are his offspring" comes from maybe Aratus, who was another poet in the 3rd century. Paul learns as much as he can about the culture or the group he's trying to talk to about God. This is part of what I've never understood about some Christians and their thinking about sharing of God's love. I went to seminary with so many that avoided knowing popular culture. They didn't go to movies. They didn't know. They didn't read the books. They didn't watch the television shows. They didn't engage in it. And it made it really hard for them to connect with people. I've seen a lot of people who choose to kind of separate from that, but if we do that, then how will we know what people are thinking about, what people are dealing with? The music, the movies, the cultural trends tell us a lot about what people's worries are or what they're thinking about or what's important to them. Paul does something else that's really important. Paul takes time to walk these streets of Athens. He goes to the marketplace. He doesn't avoid them. He goes to the temple. He sees what their beliefs in action look like. But the essence of this that we need to know before we try to tell people about them, about something as important as God, is that we need to remember this idea. The essence of this is, you know, an example of this is early missionaries in China. Early missionaries came to China and they gave Bibles and they stayed for a little bit and then they left the Bibles and they thought that would be enough. And they'd say, do you understand about God, about Jesus? And they say, yes, we understand. But in the culture, they wanted to see how the people lived. They wanted to see how it was lived out. And then they would know if it was true or not. And so this kind of, they need to see how the system was actually lived out before they would give it much credence. If the missionaries had known about that culture, they would have seen the greater value of staying, living out this life of faith in front of people so that they would understand. Part of telling people about God is knowing some of their story, their hurts, their past experiences, knowing the culture in which they live. And in doing this, we grow in relationship. Brothers and sisters, this is not just done for the sole purpose of getting them to believe in God. That can't be our sole focus. His motive is not to find the best way to convince the Athenians, but it's the same for us. We need to use it as an opportunity to learn something new and grow in our relationship as we share God's love. So taking this time as we learn about culture and learn about people and their experiences as a way to grow. So as we engage and learn about other faiths, other beliefs, other philosophies, it helps us to grow, and that is a gift that we are given by others. As the book of Proverbs says, iron sharpens iron. It's the coming in contact with different opinions and viewpoints and perspectives to help refine and define our views and beliefs if we're open to learning and listening. Paul shows us that finding out about people is very important as we want to share the love of God with them. Next, Paul shows us the importance of finding commonality. Paul, instead of focusing on how different his monotheistic or one God Judaism was from the polytheistic many God view of the Greeks, then if he had done it that way, then there wouldn't have been much for them to talk about. But Paul finds space in their existing beliefs to find common ground. As he was learning about the Greeks and their beliefs, he went to the temples and he saw the statues and the altars to the many gods of Apollo, Zeus, Athena. But then he saw an altar that was dedicated, and it said, to the unknown God. And this is the common ground from where he wanted to start. He says that unless this unknown God is none other than the creator God, and this is the God he wants to talk to them about. And Paul was smart, and he was well-read, and he knew the concept of a creator deity was something that the Greeks all knew about. Many thinkers and others saw and wrote about God, a creator God. But Paul then goes on from this base to say something else. He says, we all agree that none of us think that deities dwell inside these manufactured things. Here are the two basic points of agreement with his audience. Common ground is the best place to begin any conversation of faith and God's love. Sometimes we tend to focus on differences, or we say, well, there's no point, we'll never agree. But that's not our starting point out of deep love for each other. In seminary, there was this other kid named Matt. And I would wear my Che Guevara shirt, you know, because I was a bit of a rebel, you know. And so I would wear my red Che Guevara shirt, and he would wear a red Ronald Reagan shirt. And I saw him on campus, and I thought, well, this guy, we must be complete opposites, you know. We must come from way different perspectives. But then we get to talk to each other, it turned out we had so much more in common than I could have even imagined. It was amazing. And maybe you've had people in your life like that where you met them and you thought, oh, this person is, we'll have nothing in common. We'll have nothing to agree on. But then as you talk, you find out, wow, our commonalities are much greater than our differences. And so as we think about sharing with others about God's love, it is our work to find the commonality, to find common ground from which to build from. Lastly, Paul teaches us something so important. Paul, when talking to people about God and about God's love for them, he doesn't push it. The end of the passage gives us both insight and hope. In verse 32, now when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, we will hear you again about this. So Paul went out from their midst. Paul tells them about what he thinks is core and foundational to his love for God. He tells them about the resurrection. Paul shows us that even as we share about God and God's love in caring ways, some people will think we're gigantic fools for believing in God, and that's okay. The fact that we value church or church community might seem the biggest waste for other people of our time and our resources, And that's okay. As the great philosopher Kenny Rogers, God rest his soul, once wisely said, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. Paul shares and he goes. Some people were interested and others rejected. So as we share about God's great love, if there's a resistance or anger, that's okay. It's not about us. God loves everyone. God loved us, as it says in Romans, when we were enemies of God. Whoever we're talking to about God, God loves them already infinitely. So if they don't agree or think it's silly, that's all good. The relationship to the person is most important. It trumps all. So like Paul, out of love, don't push it. And as the phrase goes, let go and let God. So today we thank Paul for these insights and guidance in the way he lived out his faith. By now, all this being said, the most important thing as we think about how we talk about the things that are non-talking points, like my mistake at talking to my friend's grandfather about the Red Sox and the Yankees. But the most important thing is best summed up by the quote that's been attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, but that's not actually nowhere in his writings does he say this, but it doesn't make it any less true, whoever said it. It says, preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. Jesus preached the gospel in every interaction he had, in healing, in crying, in conversation, and Paul learned from the best. And so can and should we, that the way we live and love and act and care for people is the best way to, quote unquote, talk to them about God. So this week, so distance, even though we're distant, let's find little ways to show God's love. And let the way we live, the way we love, the way we care not only for each other, but the communities and the groups we find ourselves in, really show God's love. Or as the praise song chorus goes from the mid-60s, they will know that we are Christians by our love. Loving people and caring for them is the best way for us to proclaim God to them.